Good afternoon. I'm going to be speaking on, as Tony said, our vaccine loss, implementing new guidelines on storage and handling. In LA County, we started looking at our vaccine losses and realized they were quite high, and we wanted to find out why and what steps we could take to try and improve those. So one of the things we looked at was policies and procedures that were in place, and then started coming up with some new implementation guidelines. Okay, so everybody knows consequences of vaccine storage and handling. By not storing it properly, you get inadequate immune response, inadequate protection to the disease. Everybody knows the different types of vaccine loss. We broke it down to preventable and non-preventable. Preventable being expired vaccines, the provider not letting us know that they have vaccines that are going to expire, just letting them go to waste, not following up with their own policies and procedures, letting their unit coming unplugged, or somebody in their staff unplugging the unit and it sits there all weekend, which has happened. Non-preventable vaccine, non-preventable losses, power outages. In California we had the rolling blackouts, storage and unit malfunctions. So in LA County, we have a population of about 10 million. And of those, we're sort of broken down into two different ways. We have about 1,000 VSC providers, private VSC providers, and we have about 2,200 public health and nonprofit providers that we work with. These that we work with are because due to the size of our county, we couldn't, and with the number of, we only had 11 public health clinics, so there's an extreme lack of access to public health and to immunizations within our county, so we started working with our nonprofits. So there's about 178 nonprofits. This is school-based clinics, this is federal qualified health centers. We have one rural health center, which is out on Catalina Island, and we have nonprofit clinics that we work with in a partnership. We have an assigned addendum with them that goes over not only the VSC requirements, but also them working with our registry and other issues. So we have a partnership in working with them. And then the staff that works with these providers were broken down into three area field units, placed in various parts of the county. So we have, in each field unit, we have one public health nurse, and then we have varying levels of staff between 4 and 7 staff members that are out there working with the providers on a daily basis. Our losses for 2007, we looked at them, we broke it down between private VFC providers, which we got the losses numbers from the state VFC program, and then the spoiled vaccines. While our expired vaccine loss isn't too high, because we work with our providers on a regular basis, so they're pretty good about calling us. But our spoiled vaccines are huge. When you look at that, it's comparable to the VSC losses for spoiled vaccine. However, you remember that $416,000 is for 220 providers, and not even all those 220 providers. So looking at these numbers, we realized we needed to do something. We also wanted to know why the losses were happening and what was going on in our providers' offices. So we did a survey on what storage and handling, what kind of storage units they had, what kind of thermometers they had, and what kind of policies and procedures they had in place in event of an emergency or just standard storage and handling. We got, out of the 220 providers, we got responses from 194. And in looking at the data, we chose to break it down by area field unit rather than by provider type, because there wasn't any really difference in the data and the numbers. So in order to make it easier for us in our follow-up, we broke it down by who would be doing the follow-up with those particular providers. So one of the first questions we ask is, does your clinic have vaccine storage and handling policies and procedures in case of an emergency? Then clinic staff knows where their storage and handling policies and procedures are located. What is the policy and procedure if the refrigerator or freezer temperatures are out of range? And one of the things providers can answer more than one question to this. And one of the things we have always worked with our providers is If you have, if your temperature goes out of range, call us. So that's one of the things we've always really tried to drill into them and work with them on. Does the provider know what the appropriate temperature for the vaccine refrigerator and the freezer are? Our staff went over them and asked them if they could read the thermometer for them. What type of thermometer does the clinic use? And in this case, they could also answer one, more than one type. A lot of our providers will have a digital thermometer on the outside and then a either a dial or glass tube thermometer on the inside, as well as backup. Okay, what type of vaccine units are being used to store a vaccine? You know here, the state's requirements for new vaccine storage and handling went into effect in September. The letter went out in September of last year. That's when same time we did our storage and handling survey. So we went out and when we went out and did the survey, we also took along with us the state's new storage and handling letter. Shortly after that, all of our 11 public health clinics purchased pharmacy grade refrigerators. And since then, several of our providers have purchased standalone units. So, you know, looking at the results, it looks like, you know, a lot of them have policies and procedures. A lot of them know how to read the thermometer. So what's the issue? Why are we having such losses? What we came up with is, one, high staff turnover. Staff not understanding the effects of the temperatures on the vaccine. There is poor orientation for vaccine management by staff leaving. And then also, one of the biggest things was the failure of them just not complying with their own policies and procedures when they had a vaccine loss. Well, you know, we look at it and you follow, you know, so especially with a couple of our providers, when this is on their second loss, well, after the last one, you gave us an action plan and here's what you said you were going to do in it. How come you didn't do that? Okay, so some of the steps we've taken to implement this is when doing our quality assurance reviews, we're going over their policies and procedures with them, making sure that they have something on storage and handling, vaccine transfer, that their policy and procedure, you know, includes what do they do in an emergency? How do they relocate the vaccine? What are they going to do with it? Mm-hmm. We're also doing yearly audits with them, doing yearly quality assurance reviews. Our new providers are receiving two quality assurance reviews, and we're also requiring that that they have some kind of storage and handling policy and procedure in place. Our staff then are going out and doing physical inventories with them like twice a year. And when they're out there doing the physical inventories, they're also checking to make sure that the refrigerator that we certified and said was appropriate to store vaccine in is the same refrigerator. Because we have a tendency to, we've had a couple of cases where we've certified this refrigerator and then we had one instance, we certified a refrigerator, it's about 6 months later they called, we've had that it went out of range, we had this loss, what kind of refrigerator is it? Like, wait a minute, that's not the refrigerator recertified. What happened to that? When did you change this out and didn't let us know? So looking where these are things we're looking into. Okay. We're also requiring that they keep weekly temperature logs and send them to fax them to us on a weekly basis so that we can review them. We've actually caught a number of incidents where it could have been storage and handling loss since we started implementing this in November, that we've actually had a couple of incidents we've caught that they've looked at their log and said, wait a minute, their vaccine has been too cold for, you know, a day. You need to go out and do some visits with them. We are also requiring all new providers have to go through a storage and handling training, and any provider who has a vaccine loss has to do an online storage and handling training. Some of the limitations to our survey were that the questions needed to be a little more specific. There was too much room for multiple answers, we also didn't know which, then we needed a little more in-depth explanation when we were going through them with them. It's also the person who was answering the survey wasn't always the most appropriate person, wasn't the person who always handled the vaccine or knew about it. They also didn't always know how to read the thermometer. When we read it to them, they could read the thermometer in most cases, but they didn't know what the temperatures mean. They didn't know what, you know, okay, it's reading at 36 degrees. Okay, that's almost too cold for the vaccine. They were still thinking that the too warm was bad and too cold was good. So it's something that we're going to have to then implement with them. Some of the things in conclusion that we're looking at is they're definitely going to need continued follow-up and education. That's something we're going to be out there doing on a more regular basis with our providers. And we also, on our side, we need to implement better record-keeping and date follow-up. We're in the process of revising our vaccine incident log as to the data we want to collect, what we need from our providers, what questions we're asking our providers. And we're also in the process of writing a vaccine loss policy to what to do with the providers that are repeat offenders and continue to lose vaccine. Okay, and then I also wanted to just thank my field staff that went out and in a month's time, while they're in the process of doing fall assessments, also went out and went to every one of our providers to try and get these surveys done and into us. And it's our contact information if you have any questions. We'd be more than happy to contact myself or one of the nurses. We'd be more than happy to answer any of your questions or send you any information. Thank you.